Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, June 26, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are in the chapter There Is a Solution on page 27. We will be reading the fifth and the final paragraph on page 27 that begins upon hearing this and ends the necessary vital experience. Today's readers for the 12 steps, Vanessa G., the 12 traditions, Kelsey R., readers of the text, Vicki V. and Reva P. Our newcomer greeter is Tony B. Our second hour host is Leah F. And announcements will be given by Kathy S. And thank you for your service, everyone, in June. The reference numbers for yesterday, June 25th, 2024, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,516. That's 21516. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 21,517. That's 21517. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Vanessa G. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Vanessa G. And I will now ask Kelsey R. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hey, good morning. This is Kelsey R. in Texas, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our own group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Kelsey R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 27. The fifth paragraph that begins upon hearing this and ends the necessary vital spiritual experience. And comments will be on that one paragraph. And I will now ask Vicki V. to please begin reading.
Good morning and thank you, Lisa. I can be heard, right? I kind of was late on my step one, star one.
Yes. Try that star one again, Vicki. We can't hear you.
I was telling him that while his religious conviction...
Sorry, Vicki. I'm sorry to interrupt. Somehow we lost you. Can you start again? Okay. I don't know if it's me, Vicki, but I can't hear you.
Boy, I love
came
these
in.
Cell phones.
Can you hear me now? Yeah. Yes,
oh,
I can
Lord.
Hear you now.
Hello, this is Vicki V. from New York, perfectly imperfect, but showing up today. Thank you for service. Upon hearing this, our friend was somewhat relieved, for he reflected that, after all, he was a good church member. This hope, however, was destroyed by the doctors telling him that while his religious convictions were very good, in his case, they did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. I can imagine how our friend felt when he heard that a vital spiritual experience was what he needed to change. Woohoo! I have this in the bag. I have a strong belief and background with God and all that he represents. I'm part of a church and a congregation, only to find out that his belief in God as a religious man and his connection to all the quote-unquote good people did not mean that he already had what he needed to recover from this disease. Religion is defined as a belief in and worship of a superhuman power or powers. Spirituality is defined as the quality of being concerned with the human spirit or soul as opposed to material or physical things. So, fit spiritual condition, right? I have to practice this principle every day, multiple times a day. And I'm not going to lie, I struggle with this. It is not my first thought when things get challenging. I have a very strong will that people have, you know, put on a pedestal, but it gets in my way. I know, quote unquote, I know this does not help me. I know it's right, and I know what the next right thing is, but if I think it's going to be my first thought. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it's not probable that I'm going to be inspired at all times. I must rely on my second thought. I heard this in the rooms. I am not responsible for my first thought. It's always going to come from my disease. I have to be responsible for my second thought. And thank God it is always coming from above. Spirituality for me means shifting my priorities in a way that allows me to embrace my connection with God in a more profound way. What am I worshiping today? Because what I think about expands. And if all I'm thinking about is fear, then I'm going to invite in more fear. If I'm thinking about gratitude to my higher powers for guiding me, my thoughts, my words, and my actions, then I have a better chance of helping others and remaining abstinent today. A psychic change is what is needed. This whole page converts to the set-aside prayer for me. My mind was blown when I first heard that prayer. It can be tailored to all my selfish, self-centered, dishonest, and fearful thoughts that are a part of me due to living with spiritually unwell people my whole life. If I live in a world that I was taught to live in, I will certainly die a hard death by this disease. If I choose to believe that God is everything, then I can set aside everything I think I know about myself, this disease, the solution, and most especially God and how he can work in my life. Then I will be set free. And I can do this every day, every moment, and start my day over when it goes awry. My God does not judge me for my failures. He rejoices in my failures because through these failures, I change, I grow, I learn, and I expand to become more useful to him, others, and most especially for me, more humble and more forgiving to others, because if I do that, I can be more forgiving to myself. That's all I have. Thank you so much for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Vicki B., for getting us started this morning. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So if you've shared on any of the vision meetings on Monday or Tuesday, we ask you to hold back. And who would like to share on what was read?
Christina J. from North Carolina.
Karen.
Rivka R.
Felisa D. from Rhode Island.
Okay. Karen, Rivka, and who is after Rivka? Who's from Rhode Island?
Felisa D.
Felisa.
Did you get me, Lisa, Christina J.?
I got you first, Christina.
Thank you.
Nancy R.
Nancy,
Tony
thank
B.
you. Tony
Nancy P.
Nancy P.
Melanie P.
Melanie. Let's stop with Melanie. Melanie P. Okay, let me tell you who I have. Christina J., Karen, Rivka R., I think it is, Louisa D., Nancy R., Tony, I think it's Tony P., Nancy P., and Melanie T. So if you'll please give me the first initial of your last name when you share. Christina J., you're up, followed by Karen.
Morning, everyone. Christina J., North Carolina. I've had periods of abstinence, and I still didn't. I would have moments of spiritual experiences, and they were beautiful, but they didn't hold me. And my religious experience, my close connection to God, as I used to call it, all my spiritual journeys, you know, that I did with groups and this and that, they never held me. So it does not spell the vital spiritual experience just to go to church, just to be on a diet. The food down never did anything for me. Putting the food down and being skinny never gave me a spiritual experience. You know, it made me happy at times. I looked in the mirror, I thought I looked good. But it doesn't matter to me anymore. Sure, I want to feel good. I want to have good health. But, you know, when the food goes down, what comes up? Like a jack-in-the-box, the feelings. What do we do with those feelings? We have to do something with those feelings, those wounds, those pains. If we don't, for me, I'll just speak for myself, I'll get back in the food. I can sit around and pray. I can call people. I can do 10 steps. I can be of service to others. But I have to do one really important thing. I have to call to God by myself. Sure, I can do 10 steps. I can reach out. I can hear what other people have to say. But I have to go to God myself. Because only God can relieve my pain. Only God can relieve the buildup from the wounds that I've carried all of my life.
And I've shared about this a little bit now and again, but I had a spiritual experience. It was very, very, very strong. It was the first one in my life that I felt has changed me, has given me a personality rearrangement. And I know I have to hold on to it. I can't just lollygag along and say, oh, I'm free of fear, I'm free of the baggage. I have got to call back every day. And, you know, today I realized I have to do it, but it's not anymore that, oh, I have to do my 11th step. Oh, I have to do this to try to stay in Pittsburgh. I want to do it because I have tasted something I've never tasted before, a freedom I've never tasted. And it took me a long time. I started Envision in 2014. I'd been in the rooms many times before that, but not like Envision. It took me till now. 3 months ago, I put the food down. What started coming up? The feelings. And this time, God hit me hard with them. My soul hit me hard with them and brought me a miracle because I called to him. That's the only way that I'm going to have this necessary, vital, life-giving spiritual experience, by putting myself down, putting myself in God's hands, let's put it that way, and saying, God, I can't get rid of jealousy. I can't get rid of fear. I can't get rid of dishonesty. What do I do? My first step was great. I saw a lot of things. Awareness is a great tool in the beginning, but to me it was just a tool. I could see things, you know, but I didn't, God hadn't given me the freedom yet from this thing. And this thing, this wound has brought me so many gifts.
Time.
I'm a free woman today on many levels, and I got to keep working at it in order to stay free. What did he say? Whatever it is, you better hang on to it. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. And Karen, if you'll give us the first initial of your last name, you're up, followed by Rivka R.
Karen P. from Pennsylvania. Thank you, moderator. This paragraph is packed for me. I was one like this fella here in that, highly religious. I was highly religious, steeped and raised in the Baptist tradition, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, and on Sundays was very involved in my church, and kept begging God, please help me with this. And I still ate, I was still a compulsive overeater. I was very pious. Now I know very pious and self-righteous and highly religious. But that did not help me. It did not help me. It wasn't until, and then I've been coming around the room since the 1980s, since like 1986. And even came to Vision back in, I would say in the early, in the mid-90s, and just was hanging around but didn't fully come in. And it wasn't until October of 2023 where I had another go-round with the food, and I woke up and my higher power said to me, go to a Vision for you. And I came to the meeting and haven't looked back since. And I got a sponsor and fully worked the steps. And as a result of fully working the steps, I've had the vital spiritual experience that it's talking about. And it has just been amazing, is the word. It hasn't been perfect. The food is down. I'm food neutral. I'm so grateful for that. But my head is different. My spirit is different. And I definitely attribute it to the vital spiritual experience that they say is necessary. And it came through working these steps. And today I live in steps 10, 11, and 12, one day at a time. And I'm amazed at the transformation that continues to happen one day at a time. Again, it's not been perfect in the sense, but it's been good. It's been really good, the change. And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Karen P. And Rivka R., you're up, followed by Louisa D.
Hi, did you call for Rivka?
I did. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Sorry. Good morning, everyone. It's Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. I really relate to this paragraph. At 16, I went from being an atheist to belief that there was some universal intelligence, but I didn't know what that had to really do with my life. And at 21, I changed my whole life. Like, I went from living a very secular life. I was a dance major at UCLA, and I moved to Brooklyn, New York, and I studied Judaism, and I became an observant Jew, and I changed a lot. I mean, I changed the way I dressed. I changed my name. I changed, you know, how I ate. I started eating kosher food and keeping the Sabbath and praying long prayers. But, like, why wasn't that enough? I moved to Brooklyn. I moved into a dorm for women who had little or no background in Judaism. And, you know, why was I still the one sitting all alone in the basement and binging on the sheet cakes that the cook made for all the women in the dorm? Like, my religious, you know, yeah, convictions and practices, they were good, but they didn't spell that necessary vital experience. Vital spiritual experience that I needed. Even all my years in OA in different groups, see how in 90 day and Gratiate, like, you know, how could I work the steps and even do many fourth steps and still feel at times like I did surrender and still relapse? So it wasn't until I got on this line, actually, a little over 3.5 years ago, and after another relapse, that I finally surrendered to facing all the things in the big book that I had glossed over for many years because I was either afraid of it or I thought I would never be able to do it, like saying, "Thy will not mine be done." Like, I was completely terrified of that line, or pausing when agitated or doubtful and asking for the right thought and action. I thought I couldn't do that one. You know, there's a price to pay. It meant the destruction of self-centeredness. Like, what? Like, placing the welfare of other people ahead of mine. Like, how would I do that? You know, cease fighting everything and everyone. Like, these are the things that, like, the basic program that I just, like, glossed over, you know, because I thought, oh, okay, not me. Like, to be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice. You know, anyway, it was when I got on this line and I heard people demonstrating what that looks like in their lives. And I began to trust that God's plan is better than something that I can come up with. And I began to have that vital relationship with God. I went beyond the cosmic ATM machine. And I started grasping a new attitude of humility and gratitude and a God-centered life. Even I thought I had a God-centered life, but I didn't really. Like, I was still caught up in the old drive to control and be a victim and self-centeredness, but my orientation to life began to change. I don't know why it took me so long. Okay, I'll finish with this. I'm just, you know, I'm almost 70, but I'm just so grateful that God didn't give up on me. So have a great day, everybody, and I pass.
Thank you, Rivka R. And Louisa D., you're up, followed by Nancy R.
Hi, this is Felicia D, F-E-L-I-C-I-A.
Oh, Felicia, thank you. Sorry.
No, no problem at all. Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just really want to thank everyone who has shared so far. This meeting has been kind of mind-blowing, the idea that the first person shared about, if I invite fear into my thoughts, then I'm growing it, is something that is so simple. And just really hit me this morning, and that, you know, I came in to Overeaters Anonymous, and I was like, oh yeah, I know it's spiritual, not religious, like, I've got this, I'm coming from another program, and, you know, in April, I was 35 years sober, so I was like, I got this spiritual thing, which I should know, anytime I think I got this is arrogance and pride and a problem. But I didn't have a relationship with God, and I didn't have a God that was strong enough to save me from fear and from food. And so I was like compartmentalized and living in this weird duality of surrendering parts of my life and not others, and not understanding that I was getting in my own way. And honestly, for me, the program that I had, all of the program that I had that I was working, was in the way of trying to work this OA program, because I kept thinking I knew what was happening, but I kept going back to the food. I desperately needed that set-aside prayer, because there were so many things that I thought that I knew that were getting in the way of my relationship with God and the ability to live in a life that embraced a new God, a new relationship with God. I'm sure God is still himself, but a new relationship for me with God, and a new idea and a new experience. And so I really had to just bang my head here for decades to be able to finally be open enough to do something radically different. And I had an experience a few months ago where I felt like God told me to call this person and ask them if they knew anyone with a morning slot. And they were like, oh, someone called me yesterday and they said they have a morning slot, literally the words that came to me to ask. And then I asked her to be my sponsor, and the non-negotiables kind of took my breath away. I was like, that I've never even considered doing. I would have laughed at some point. And being that busy and working this program and trying to do the things, not that I'm doing the things because I'm going to get abstinent, but doing the things to clear my block so that I can be saved by this higher power has been mind-blowing. It's everything I would have thought couldn't happen, but I've somehow, the time, God just creates doors where there used to be walls, and all of a sudden time appears when it just doesn't seem like it should. And
time.
And today, thank you. And I'll wrap up by saying today I have this relationship with the power, and I don't need to know what it is and how it is, and I don't need to put parameters around it. It's fine just the way that it is, and I just need to access it. Thank you so much. Pass.
Thank you. Felicia D. and Nancy R., you're up, followed by Tony P.
Good morning. Nancy R., recovered compulsive overeater from Northwest Illinois. Grateful to be sharing on the meeting this morning, and just to be on the meeting and to be abstinent and sane and reading this book. You know, I can relate in many ways here with what people have been sharing and what we've been reading, and specifically this, what we're reading this morning. I've always had a relationship with a higher power, and it has changed and morphed and grown and become more and more personal throughout my life. And I remember coming to OA in the 90s, and you know, being recommended by my therapist. My therapist told me about OA and recommended I go. So I went to OA, and I went to some meetings, and I didn't do any work. Didn't get a sponsor. Read the readings, didn't do anything in between the meetings, and I got some relief. I guess it was like the pink cloud, whatever. But I mean, I did feel different than going to diet plans. And then I relapsed, and I couldn't get it back because I wasn't doing the work, and I wasn't having a spiritual experience that I get through doing the work of working the steps. And continuing to do that. And so I went back to, you know, he went back to his renowned psychiatrist. I went back to my therapist and said, well, that didn't work. What else you got? And he's like, go back to OA. And I'm always so grateful in having that memory of that conversation, because he was right. I needed to go back, and I needed to do things differently. And, you know, I have had vital spiritual experiences, and I continue to have, thankfully, great connection with my higher power. I woke up this morning after having a chaotic dream, nothing awful, but a chaotic dream, That just, you know, I think totally represents my alcoholic thinking, my crazy mind, my strange twist of the brain. And so I was off and running with thinking. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't go back to sleep. It was very unusual for me. And I thankfully knew that I needed God. So I started doing my 11-step work. You know, I started doing my prayer, meditation, my connecting with God, just doing the next right thing so that I can be in alignment with my spiritual power that can do for me what I can't do for myself. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy R. And Tony P., you're up, followed by Nancy P. Did I get that right?
Hi,
Tony?
Lisa. Thank you. Yeah,
oh, there you
Tony
are.
B. Yeah, it's Tony B for beautiful, not P. And I'm in Scotland. Thank you. And I'd like to say hello, everybody. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, as I say, living in Scotland. Okay, so first of all, thank God that Carl Jung knew this distinction and told Roland Hazard so clearly and straight that that being a nominal churchgoer was not enough. And yeah, he does say, no, he's the not nominal, sorry. He was a good church member. No, that was my mistake. I was certainly somewhat relieved. I had a spiritual path that I found, a Taoist path. I went on retreats. I'd gone away from my Christian route, but I was seeking something. And I joined AA, and I worked the steps, and I didn't continue to work the steps, and I did a geographical, and I wanted what I wanted, and I never asked God. And I landed at Fintorn Foundation in Scotland, which is why I'm still up in Scotland, even though I was born in England. And I was sure that I could never drink again. I did meditation here at Fintorn. I did workshops. I did retreats. But it did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. I drank again. I'd been trying for recovery in OA too. I ate again and again and again. So what is this vital spiritual experience? For me, a personal connection with God. I ask him and I thank him regularly through the day. I ask him for his help for the next little bit of the day, and I thank him when it's gone well and his grace has showed up in my life, which it does. And he lives in my heart now. It's vital. He's alive, zinging, I think. Vital is like, it's buzzing. It's alive, full of life. And he'd have us have life and have it to the full. You know, a happy, joyous, free, not secondhand through a priest. It's alive and it's real for me every moment of every day, so long as I connect. And I feel just where I am at the moment, I don't have to try to be helping others or try to be doing the work. I align with God, number one, and then I wouldn't actually want anything but to do it. It flows naturally from him. And I'll just finish with this. I had a beautiful candle lighting ceremony in another fellowship last night, having completed, having become recovered in that fellowship. And first of all, we light a big candle. I lit a big candle for God. So he shines first and he's the biggest. And then there's a smaller me candle on the left. And I light that candle from the big candle of God. And then on the right, there's an other's candle. And with the me candle, which has come from God, I light the other's candle. And then all
time.
Three are shining. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Tony B. And Nancy P., you're up, followed by Melanie T.
Hi, good morning. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. I love this paragraph. I spent decades reading this book. In fact, on my fly leaf, I got this as a gift from my parents on June 23rd, 1979. So just a hair over 45 years ago. And I would read this book and go to big book meetings, and I'd smirk to myself and I'd say, can you imagine having to do all that? And then I would think the next thing is, it's a good thing I don't have to do that, because that would take up like all my time. And, you know, I really wanted to be thin. And, you know, people talk about, or in the Boston area, they talk a lot about the gift of desperation. You know what I was desperate to do? Eat and be thin. That's what I was desperate to do. I was desperate to find, to skate, to find an easier, softer way, or any other way, harder and harder way, not, you know, more difficult and harder, not easier and softer. Anyway, except the way that the book said. And this paragraph describes me so completely because, well, the antithesis, I was a terrible churchgoer, church member. I get the heebie-jeebies whenever I have to go anywhere that's, a religious place. You know, I'm not interested in that. And, I can't stand it. And the whole thing about, these things that I thought that I had, they also didn't spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. And the word spell was like, it was written in a language that I couldn't understand. You know, I think I read all these words all those times, but I didn't understand anything. And that's why I think the most important tool for me is shut up and listen, Nancy P. And the F word in the middle of that. You know, I never shut up and listened. I always thought I already knew. I know, just like Bill, who I also thought I had nothing in common with. He rolled up to New York, a pipsqueak just out of World War I, thinking that he was going to run vast enterprises. You know, he wanted to start at the end, and that's not how it works. You have to start at the beginning. And just like the Rockefellers and the Carnegies were not shaking in their boots over him, I never got anywhere, and ever. And, you know, I had plenty of chances of, you know, life dealt me out some pretty tough hands, you know, losing jobs, alienating friends, you know, putting my marriage under stress, you know, then when I had kids, that was a whole nother level of like powerlessness. And it was only when I, you know, had successive difficulties and I just couldn't do it anymore, I surrendered. And even that isn't enough. I had to have not just surrender, not just desperation, I had to have a single-minded ferocity. And I mean ferocious. You know, I kept showing up at a gunfight with a pillow and thinking that I was going to fight my way through. And, you know, it doesn't help that I'm smart and articulate and, you know, I can twist things into meanings that they don't have with ease. But that when I finally was beaten and bloody and bruised and broken, and I shut up and I listened. I just said, I threw up my hands and I said, I don't know. Just tell me what to do. I don't care what it is. I'll do it. And that's all that I could do. And I did it and I recovered and I've never looked back. And I will say this, that surrender is like a Rosetta Stone. It's the thing that unlocked this spelling that I couldn't understand before. Suddenly I could speak the language and understand what it said. I could read it and comprehend it and put it into practice. And today, I'll wrap up with this. Today, I don't have to get in touch. I don't care about God. And I'm absolutely sure that if there is one, it is fine with that. It doesn't, you know, like the sun doesn't care if I believe it shines anywhere, anyway. And I think that if there's a God, it says, she is so adorable, she doesn't believe it. That's not the cutest thing you've ever seen. You know, that's what I think. And you know, I read this language today with ease, and I would say that. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Nancy P. And Melanie T., please share with us.
Hi, my name is Melanie P. from Montreal. Do you hear me?
I did. Go ahead.
Cool. So what's reminding me this paragraph is since the age of 8 years old, I always wanted to be near to God. And I remember telling my family, I want to study theology. And they told me, for what? What are you going to do with that? And I just listened to them because they were adults and I was a child. And then my life goes on and... But I always wanted to be near to a power greater than myself. I went to church. I tried a lot of things. I tried to have, I tried OA, and OA saved my life. But I tried to find God in sponsors, in others, and I never found out. But the thing is, the spiritual experience is, and what is spiritual experience? In page 567, it said, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook, and that's what happened to me. But where I can find this spiritual experience or awakening or telling what everything you said, it's on page 55. Deep down, every human being, there's the conscience of God. So all these times I was trying to search Him and to have this spiritual experience. I was looking outside myself, and I never find out. But then the last time I came here, my sponsor didn't want to be my God. So each time I called her, she always said, Melanie, did you pray? Did you ask God for the answer? And what she was telling me, did you took quiet time to hear this voice inside of you telling the truth, my truth? So sometimes I don't want to listen. I don't want to take quiet time. But I know it's always at the same place, deep down inside of me, in quiet moment, I can hear His voice. But when I'm in fear, resentment, I need to do a 10-step because I won't be able to hear it. So that's what I had to share this morning, and I'll pass. And thank you for this beautiful meeting and all your service. Thanks.
Thank you, Melanie P. And we are on page 27 in the big book. We read and we're sharing on the fifth paragraph that begins upon hearing this and ends the necessary vital experience. We're sharing on that one paragraph. Who else would like to share this morning?
Lisa B. T. North Carolina.
Lisa B. T. And who is that from North Carolina?
Justin C.
Maya K.
Justin, I missed. Okay, Maya.
Maya, thanks.
I got you, Maya. Someone
thanks.
After Justin.
Joe M., Minnesota.
Joe M. I have Lisa BT, Justin, Maya K., Joe M. Anybody else? Okay, somebody's unmuted, so if you are not Lisa BT, if you'll please press star 1 to mute your phone. Lisa BT, you're up, followed by Justin. And I don't know if someone's doing dishes. There's a lot of background noise. Lisa?
Hi, thanks so much. My name is Lisa BT. I'm very grateful for all the service this morning, of people being here, and also putting this meeting on. So appreciate it. I am a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Guelph, Ontario, which is near Toronto. I really love that phrase, vital spiritual experience, because I was a, went to Sunday school, all that stuff as a little kid, and experienced all that as fine, but it didn't feel that alive to me, really. It was very nice, but I didn't really connect. And at the age of 15, 16, which I think is really sort of a common age when people kind of strike out and say, well, I'm going, what makes sense to me, I left. And I did find myself going back in my 30s. I missed singing. I missed the connection with others, and I really liked that. But I would say the thing which has given me a vital spiritual experience has been the 12-step, the book, the big book, the fellowship. I always struggled with food, and I went to my very first OA meeting. I'd never heard of it before. Somebody mentioned it to me, and I thought, oh, what's that? They said it's sort of got a spiritual element. It's you know, about food, and I'd never heard that before. I thought it was just me. I grew up in a family, my family and friends, there was nobody else I knew that struggled with food the way I did, and they always were trying to help me by saying things like, well, just don't eat it, you know. So I went to this meeting, and I thought, these are my people. I just couldn't believe that I found a group that, you know, I felt understood. And that was 1996. Since then, I've not left, but I have certainly struggled with abstinence, with, you know, my relationship with God. And I think the thing that came to me to mention it today was two things. One was, I had to really, really work for a long time on step two. I just could not believe that a power greater than me, I believe that it could restore me to sanity, but why me, right? It must be that God would do this if I was really, really good. And like I sort of was really, thank you, really good with abstinence, all that kind of stuff. So the set-aside prayer is what really has opened the door for me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa B.T. And Justin, if you'll give us the first initial of your last name, you're up, followed by Maya K.
Hey, everybody. This is Justin C. from Charlotte, North Carolina. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater for today. Thank you all so much for being here, moderator, for your service. And I can relate to a lot of what has been shared already. And, you know, looking at this paragraph, what I can relate to with Roland here, you know, whatever his own reflection is, how he is determining that he was a good church member, I don't know what that was for him, but I certainly have thought that before in my life, you know, earlier in life, and what that looked like for me was pretty simple. You know, I went to church once a week, and you know, I followed in my family's, you know, kind of footsteps there, and that was that. You know, having a true personal relationship with God. I mean, I couldn't understand that. And I kind of tuned it out when I heard it in the rooms. I will say when I finally made my way to OA and it was suggested to me that I sit down and study this, take notes, truly listen to what people were saying. It was hard to tune it out because you hear it over and over the same thing, right? This necessary, vital spiritual experience, you know, vital is necessary for life. In this previous paragraph from yesterday, ideas, emotions, and attitudes that were once the guiding forces, right? So if that's the old idea, that's the old way, then this new way needs to be God. God needs to be the guiding force of my life. And, you know, and I've done it the other way many, many times where what I really wanted to do, an easier, softer way, was to wake up and pray really quick in the morning and then go about my day and do it how I want to do it. And that needs to be enough. That's what I wanted it to be. And that didn't work for me. That didn't work for me. I continued to eat. And I do want to share that, you know, in another 12-step fellowship and program, you know, I did some work and that was enough to relieve me, but I can, you know, from that particular thing, but I can recognize now that I always had food. I always had food there, you know, I wasn't really truly in a recovered state. And so, I'm so thankful that someone, you know, recommended that I come to this line because, so much hope came to me and now faith as I have done what you have done. And what happened to you has happened to me, and I'm so grateful for that. Thank you all for being here. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Justin C. and Maya K. You're up, followed by Joe M.
Hi, this is Maya K., spelled M-A-I-J-A, from New York, and I guess I just wanted to share, I really, you know, appreciated everybody shares, and I remember going to like a big church thing and hoping it would fix my, you know, bulimia, and it didn't, and I just gave it my all, and I even remember someone saying, oh, don't go to that OA, you know, just come to our church, it'll fix everything, and it didn't. And I just need to share, I've been around OA for a long time, and I do feel like I've been struggling. I don't know why. I mean, I haven't craved sugar in years, but I just feel that irritability and kind of like, God, what's going on? I've been keeping the faith for so long. I've just felt, you know, I've always trusted God. I had a very spiritual dad who would say, you know, I mean, he left, but he said, oh, God's with you. So I kind of felt abandoned and left with God. So I think I've always wanted a human connection. I've always had problems connecting with humans, actually. And I don't like calling people. And I'm sticking with a sponsor for years who's kind of, she's old now and I'm not very available, so I don't want to drop her. But it's very spiritual, so I pray a lot, but I feel very alone. And it's just a very hard thing. I just pray all the time. I write to God. I used to play piano all the time and write music to God. But it's just getting very painful to be in my body right now. And, you know, I went shopping for clothes and I just hated my body yesterday, and I'm in my weight range, but I haven't felt like that in years. I just hated what I looked like with my boyfriend, and I just went home and went right to sleep. So I know I'm not in a good place, and I just needed to share that. And that's where I'm at. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Maya K. And Joe M., please share with us.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Joe M. I'm a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. While his religious convictions were very good, in his case, they did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. You know, my philosophical convictions were very good, but they did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. My intellectual convictions were very good, but they did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. My political convictions were very good, but they did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. I had to confront in a very stark way that the way that I thought about myself, about you, about the world, about everything was not sufficient to bring about recovery. And I have been asked and called on to throw out, what do they call it, lifelong beliefs out the window, because I came to a place where my desire, my hunger for recovery became greater than my need to cling to my convictions. And so I was willing to have those convictions put under a microscope and evaluated and picked apart so that I could become free of convictions that were holding me back, holding me down, interfering with the God that lives within me. And so I have come to understand that whatever any of our convictions are, when we come to the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, for purposes of recovery, are entirely beside the point. Because the principles that we are asked to grab onto here are really not about the convictions that we came here with. They're about enabling us to take flight away from the burden of the ego and become the self that is in us, that has been wanted to be expressed all along. So with that, I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Joe M. We are just about at the end of our time, and thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, June 26th, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 21,519. That's 21519. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Reba P., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then.
Yes, good morning. This is Reba P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until